416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We'll take your calls across the network to the bottom of the hour and then back on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet590.ca, right up to 5 o'clock Eastern Time. We're still waiting for John Gibbons to come out to address the media. Hasn't done it yet, which kind of makes the plot thicken a little bit more. We'll start things off with Sam in Hamilton, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Sam.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Marcus Stroman, so much swagger. That's why I think he pitches so well. I met him in Buffalo earlier this year, and he's just got so much swagger. He's a nice person overall, but just so good to see him do so well in the major league.
He is a very, very confident guy, for sure, but that doesn't make you pitch well. But he pitches without fear, and he throws strikes, and he comes after everybody, and that certainly has something to do with it.
Yeah. I got two quick points before I want to get my big point. Do you read anything behind Ryan Goins playing shortstop? Do you playing shortstop in Buffalo like every day? Do you read into that?
I don't. I don't think Jose Reyes is going anywhere.
No, not to say, but I've heard like people suggest maybe he can go to second.
If that happens, it's not going to happen for a few years, I don't think. I think maybe the thing to read into that is that maybe Goins is being more groomed to be a utility guy rather than an everyday second baseman.
True. The second point is about J.P. Anderson, all the fallout. I kind of realized, like, last season, after the R.A. Hickey trade, like, nobody was behind Aaron Seabee. Like, when Travis d'Arnaud was here, he was supposed to be the future catcher, and Aaron Seabee played so well when he was here, but then Aaron Seabee kind of fell out of place when d'Arnaud was gone. So I kind of feel like, did d'Arnaud kind of, like, do anything to Aaron Seabee? Like, didn't take the pressure off. Like, you're going to be replaced. Like, Darno's going to be the guy to replace you. And then Aaron Seabee just had to perform well because there's somebody behind him.
Yeah, no. I think JP just had a terrible year and was terrible. I mean, I get the whole idea of yeah, somebody's pushing you, so you're pushed to perform better. But I don't think that had anything to do with Aaron Seabee's failures. He certainly didn't look like, you know, he felt confident and safe and secure and stuff, and he played through injury, and he knew there was nothing behind him, and I think that contributed to his pressing. Thank you for the call, Sam. As we expected, John Gibbons has said Casey Jansen is sick. He started off his media conference by saying, "You didn't hear about the deal?" Kidding. He has been sick as a dog for the last couple of days, so Casey Jansen, and obviously he's not going to tell us that before the game. You don't want the Rangers to know he's not available. Hopefully he'll be able to pitch tomorrow, but Casey Jansen fighting an illness, that's why he didn't pitch today. He has not been traded and probably not going to wind up on the disabled list or anything like that. Matt in Bakersfield, California, listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Matt, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. It was a good victory today. It was nice to see Colby Lewis do a pitch well, but the Blue Jays still win because Lewis is from Bakersfield, so it's always nice to root for him living here. He's like one of the few guys I think I've ever heard of playing in the MLB from here. So it was a great victory, and I know for a personal benefit,
sure,
he pitched well. Anyways, I just want to ask a question about that play in the third inning today. About with Reyes when he got thrown out at second.
Yeah,
and they reviewed
not
it.
Thrown out. There was no throw.
Probably when he stepped on.
Right.
Excuse me. Is that why it wasn't a neighborhood play? Or I thought that if second base is called, it's a neighborhood play and that's not challengeable.
The neighborhood play is not reviewable, but that's not a neighborhood play. The neighborhood play occurs when there's a guy coming from first to second and a throw is made to a middle infielder at second base who may or may not step on second base before getting the throw off to first. That's the neighborhood play. This was simply a case of, did Andrew step on the bag before Reyes got there or not? He clearly did. That's a completely different thing.
All right. Well, thanks for answering that. I was kind of confused because I wasn't sure what that neighborhood play was all about.
Yeah. All right. There you go. And we've seen it, you know, a few times. You'll see that a throw will come to a middle infielder who's straddling the bag or who's running towards the bag and doesn't get there, or steps on it and then catches the throw after he's already left. That's the neighborhood play. As long as a middle infielder is in the neighborhood, which I think is ridiculous that that's not reviewable. I don't understand it at all. And the argument that, middle infielders will get hurt if they have to step on the base. Well, you know what? You have to step on the base to get an out. That's kind of the way the game works. I don't understand why that's not reviewable. But what happened in the third inning with Jose Reyes was not a neighborhood play. Kawasaki had a ground ball to shortstop. Andrews ran to the bag, stepped on it, threw to first. Nothing to do with any neighborhood anything. And Reyes was called safe on the field. But the call was correctly overturned by replay. Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers 4-1. We're going to let the network go at the bottom of the hour, but we will continue to take your calls on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet590.ca, all the way to 5 o'clock Eastern Time. Casey Jansen not used today because he's sick. Apparently lost 7 or 8 pounds over the All-Star break and has been taking IV fluid, so hopefully he'll be able to be back and healthy very, very soon. It is the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. All right, just keep it posted. Blue Jays take down the Texas Rangers, and now some sort of carnival is being put together on the field here at Rogers Center, so it looks like fun will be had by people. A sellout crowd of 45,802 had fun watching Marcus Stroman dominate again as the Blue Jays beat the Rangers 4-1. Yankees kept pace. They took down the Cincinnati Reds 7-1, the final score. So the Blue Jays and Yankees remain tied for second place in the AL East, 3.5 games behind the Baltimore Orioles, who are in Oakland later tonight. If you're on hold, stay on hold. If you're not on hold, get on hold, as we will continue to Blue Jays talk it up on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 and Sportsnet590.ca. Tomorrow, 12:30 Eastern, the rubber match, Mark Burley and Nick Tepish. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership for the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry and Joe, Tom and Brandeo, and Joe Sicilia, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye.
The strike two pitch, line to right field, base hit. Melky scores. Up to second, Bautista, and the Blue Jays go out in front 3-0.
Big hit for Deonner Navarro. That RBI single in the seventh inning, as you heard, made it 3-0. Couple of batters later, Dan Johnson with a sacrifice fly. Two ribbies for Johnson tonight, or this afternoon, and the Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers 4-1 to snap a three-game losing streak. Stay over 500. They're 50-48, 3.5. Pardon me, 3.5 games back in the American League East. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. The controversy, of course, today: Casey Jansen did not pitch in a save situation in the ninth inning. Instead, it was Aaron Loop who came out and worked a hitless frame for his third save of the year, getting by a leadoff walk because he got J.P. Arencibia to ground into a double play. So it would be natural that that would be the first question that John Gibbons was asked. And, well, we've got the John Gibbons audio for you. Here's what he had to say after today's win.
Gibby, is anything wrong with Casey?
You didn't hear about the deal? Are we a little bit late on that? He was sick as a dog the last couple of days. Picked up something over the All-Star break. So he lost 7 or 8 pounds. They're running IVs through him. Hopefully he's all right tomorrow. Me and you.
Gibby, Marcus Stroman, he just continues to impress. Can you just talk about what you saw from him today and how he continues to just pitch like a veteran?
Yeah, I mean, since he's been here, I mean, he's been really good, especially for a young kid. But, you know, you guys all know the arms there. But he's a lot more polished than I thought he was going to be. And, you know, he has a way of dialing it up at crunch time. You know, he got a little jam there. He got a couple big punch outs, you know, after it was first and second, no outs. That's what he's capable of, so. Yeah, I mean he's been that way since, you know, we've known him over here. I mean, he's just a great competitor with a great arm, and you know, he pitches to win. You know, he's not worried about anything else but winning a game, you know, and it shows. It's a lot like Burley, just a different look, you know.
Gibby, was the decision to take him out based on future inning count type thing to go to the bullpen?
No, I figured, I don't know, what do you have, about 110 pitches? You know, he's probably, if he goes back out, he's probably going to be in the 120s, you know. I think he's gone 115 around it a couple times. You know, I mean, you know, I didn't think there was any need. But down the road, too, you know, I'm going to pay the piper.
Was it gratifying or shocking to see you guys bunch four hits in an inning and score some runs and three hits in the other inning?
Gratifying. You know what? I thought we battled today. I mean, it was a tough ball game. It got a little hairy there at the end. But a game, we needed that. You know, we put some pressure on early, but we couldn't cash anything in. Of course, then, like you said, we got a few runs and, you know, made a huge difference. But, I mean, the game never felt easy. Never felt like, really never felt comfortable, you know, because we got a little jam there in the eighth. McGowan came in and bailed us out, and then, you know, leadoff walk in the ninth. We got a big double play ball, so. Yeah, but it was an easy game by any means.
With the team scuffling, how important is it to get, I mean, it's only one win, but, you know, get some positive vibes back in the room after a win today?
Well, we needed that. You know, the name of the game is winning. You know, throw the individual stuff out the window, you know. Just win some baseball games. I mean, that's definitely where we're at. So, we desperately needed that today. Now, hopefully we can build on that a little bit and come out and play another good game tomorrow.
Gibby, was it gratifying to see a little aggressiveness, especially on the bases? Colby going first to third, a little dust up.
Colby still the base,
and the dust up between Lewis and Rasmus. Just a little more aggressiveness.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess you're chirping about the bunt or something. Yeah, I mean that's what you have to do. You know, I mean, you got to get the right guys on to do those kind of things. You know. But, you know, Colby's had a couple of good ball games the last couple of days. So, but that's, I mean, you got to get guys on, and then pressure, you got to put pressure on the other team, you know. Sometimes it's going to blow up on you, but you got to run the bases. Like, you know, sometimes you got to force some things.
That's John Gibbons, and they did force some things today. Colby Rasmus with the bunt single, the stolen base, going first to third on a wild pitch. But when it came down to it, was a big hit that got them what they needed, and a little sacrifice fly action, which is something we haven't seen too terribly much of from the Blue Jays. But more importantly, a tremendous pitching performance for Marcus Stroman. Again, we're starting to take this guy for granted. Just an amazing outing. 7 innings, 4-hit shutout, no walks, and 5 strikeouts. This is Blue Jays Talk. I'm Mike Wilner. We're taking your calls right up till 5 o'clock Eastern Time at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell in long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Back to the phones we go. Bob is in Mississauga. You're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Wanted your opinion on something. I just found out that earlier this week, Soriano and Ugla were released from their respective teams. Obviously, they're released for a reason, but with the Jays' injury status as is, wanted to know what your opinion was on these Jays taking a really hard look at either of them or both of them. I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Before you hang up, a lot of people, I don't like it when people hang up and listen. I want to engage and conversate. I got about 15 tweets in the 10 minutes after Dan Ugla got released asking if the Blue Jays would be interested in him. And my question to all of you is why? Dan Ugla has been terrible for going on 4 years in a row now. This year hitting 162 with a 241 on base and a 231 slugging percentage and 145 plate appearances. That's beyond awful. Alfonso Soriano is having such a bad year that he's considering retiring. Now, Soriano had 17 home runs the last couple of months of last season after the Yankees picked him up. And there might still be something in there. And he's worth taking a look at as a potential platoon bat against lefties. I'll grant you that. Dan Ugla's does not improve this team at all. At all. So, no. I can't say strongly enough how much I don't think the Blue Jays should go after Dan Uggla. If Alfonso Soriano wants to give it another shot and wants to keep playing, then yeah, there's a spot for him here while all these guys are hurt. But Uggla is not even going to give you better than what Juan Francisco is giving you, I don't think. And he can't play third. And Munenori Kawasaki, as crazy as it is, has been one of the Blue Jays' best hitters the last 6 weeks. So Dan Uggla doesn't make this team better at all. Peter in St. Catharines, welcome to Blue Jays Talk. Peter?
Props to Dan Johnson. I've seen him a few times down in Buffalo.
And I love Dan Johnson.
Yes, and you saw him in spring training. I'm not sure why he didn't make the team right from off from the start. But
well, he was never going to make the team. I mean, he wasn't brought in to make the team. But
no.
It was a little confusing as to why he wasn't called up sooner.
Right. But I'm glad to see him making the most of his opportunities.
Yeah, he's a very, very good hitter. Mm-hmm. You know, he hits home runs and he walks and he strikes out a lot. But he can help a big league team, no question.
Yeah, and one other thing. Curious that this year the Jays are home on the same weekend of the Honda Indy. So in years past, they were always on the road. So was that just a scheduling quirk?
I don't know if it's, you know, I can't really remember the last few years, whether it's been routine that they've been away. The schedule comes out in September, but the Indy is at the same time every year. So you would think that the Blue Jays would request to be away, but you know what? Honda Indy's in town this week, and the Jays have drawn 84,000 people to the first two games of this series.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the conflagration of things is working well for them. I'm a little surprised, though, and with all the congestion around here, it's pretty crazy. But yeah,
And then next year at this time, the Pan American Games are going to be.
I have a feeling the Blue Jays are going to be away for a lot of the Pan Am games.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
We shall see. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate the call as always. 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance. Is 1-888-666-0590. Wade is in Toronto. Wants to wade in on Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Hi, Mike. I just have two questions I'd like your views on. There was an article by Jeff Blair last week, and he seemed convinced that Melky Cabrera and Kobe Rasmus both will not be re-signed by the Toronto Blue Jays, as if it's a sure thing. And there's on Twitter by Bob Elliott 21 hours ago, it says Blue Jays telling teams in trade talks that they can't take on any extra money. I mean, I'm not expecting any blockbuster, but, you know, they're not taking on any money. I don't know if you've heard any of that or if you can verify it, and I'll just leave it with you.
Well, the Rasmus Cabrera thing, I mean, people can make all the predictions that they want and speak as confidently as they want about things. It doesn't mean that they're true or that they know. I'm sure no one has told Jeff Blair that the Blue Jays are not bringing either Melky Cabrera or Colby Rasmus back. That's his speculation. So that's not really worth discussing. The other thing is, it's very much worth discussing. I can't verify it, but the fact that it comes from Bob Elliott makes me think that it's probably true. He has a lot of contacts in a lot of other organizations and stuff that the Blue Jays won't tell anybody. Other teams are willing to talk about it. And if the Blue Jays are telling people that they're not capable of taking on any extra money in any trades, that any deal they make has to be revenue neutral, that's a pretty terrible thing. I mean, it goes against all the things that Rogers has said over the years, that when the Blue Jays are in contention, if they need money, it'll be there. This runs completely counter to that, and it's really disheartening to hear. I guess Wade's gone. Thank you for the call, Wade. And we kind of knew in the offseason, too, that the Blue Jays had to make revenue-neutral deals. We found that out with the Irvin Santana thing, with the trade that they had proposed for Ian Kinsler. They were going to make the contracts match up, at least for this year, with sending Ricky Romero that way. And what it does is it ups the prospect capital that the Blue Jays will have to give up to make a trade? Because if you want a team to take Ricky Romero back, and that's something you're going to have to do to bring an expensive player in, you're going to have to give them a lot more on the other side of the kids than you would otherwise want to, and I don't know if they're going to want to do that. It really, really is disheartening. I mean, all we've heard from Rogers since they bought this team, well, not since they bought this team, but since payroll started to move up, was if the Blue Jays are in a position where they're in a playoff race and they need money to get something done, money will not be an issue. Right now, they're 3.5 games out of a playoff spot, and it seems as though money is an issue. So, well, that's really unfortunate. What can I tell you? 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Didn't we just go to Wade? Is there another Wade here for us? Two Wades in a row. I don't know if we've had a Wade all year, and now we get back-to-back Wades. This one from Winnipeg. Welcome to the program, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you so kindly for taking my call. It's very unfortunate that to see the Blue Jays are so hard-pressed with the injury bug. My question to you, and if you'd be so kind to give me your own personal opinion, if you'd be so kind to give me the injury report update in general pertaining to batters and pitchers, and how long do you think that they would be out, and how soon could we see them back in the lineup?
Yeah, not for a while. I understand that, you know, I get a lot of questions about injury updates and what are the updates. The updates are these guys are still hurt. And you know, the time frame on when they're coming back is the same as it was when they got injured. When Edwin Encarnacion got hurt, we were told he was going to be out 3 to 6 weeks, and we haven't hit 3 weeks yet. When Brett Laurie broke his finger, it was going to be about a month, and that's the end of July. When Adam Lind got hurt, when they finally found out that his toe was broken, they said it was, you know, going to be 3 to 5 weeks, and we're not at 3 weeks yet. So these guys are all still hurt. Laurie's here today. He did not have a splint on his hand at all or anything like that, so that's good news, but I wouldn't expect any of them back until the end of July at the earliest.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you for the call. Yeah. And I guess I understand that there seems to be a constant need for daily updates, but when you're dealing with broken bones, and in the cases of Lind and Laurie, and in the case of Edwin Encarnacion, a muscle strain, I mean, there are timetables for a reason, and sometimes guys come back early, sometimes guys come back late, but, you know, the update's going to be, well, he's getting ready to go out on a rehab assignment, and then it'll be 3-4 days from that point in time. But again, Lind, Laurie, Encarnacion, don't expect to see any of them back before the end of July. And as far as Brandon Morrow goes, John Gibbons said that he will be sent to Florida when the Blue Jays close out their series at the Yankees, which is next Sunday. So in a week, he's going to go to Florida to continue his rehab there and kind of start to spring training it up. So I think it's really unrealistic to think that Brandon Morrow will be back by the middle of August, maybe by the end of August. John in Toronto, you're next on Blue Jays Talk. Welcome aboard.
Hi. This is the most frustrating team I have seen in years, even more than when John Farrell was running it, even more than last season. You know, here you are. You're close. All these promises were made. All come out and support us. You know, 46,000 today. Yesterday, 40. You know, the fans are showing up. We're holding up our end of the bargain. All right? Time for ownership to put up. You know, you guys get 4 hours, 6 hours of airtime every day on TV on 7 channels. They're on the radio for 5 hours a day. You know, come on. Give us something to cheer about. And it's not just us. How do you feel if you're Jose Bautista, okay, and you're sitting there and you're breaking your guts out in May, and that's why they're losing, by the way, is because nobody, they're bringing up, you know, Reimel, Cole Gillespie,
Brad Mills. You know, and it's not like these guys aren't available for trade, the big ones. Houston Street just went to California for a bag of hockey pucks and not even baseballs.
Well, and the top prospect in the system.
He is hitting 250 in a Pacific Coast League. I can do that.
Yeah, yelling at me doesn't make your point stronger.
I'm not mad at you, Mike. You know, I just find that this team, you know, the guys are falling. The big, you know, CC Sabathia is out for the season. Suddenly Brandon McCarthy's on there. All right? And Houston Street, $7 million a year is nothing, really. He's $5 million plus another $7 next season. And the guy is hitting 247, that Taylor, whatever his last name is, in the Pacific Coast League, which, what's his name, Adam Lind hit 500 in 2 years ago. Like, come on. Really? The fans are doing their part. So now it's time for Rogers to do their part, which they've been promising us all this time. You know, haven't been to the playoffs in 20 years, and now they have a chance, and you're telling me they can't make a deal unless it's money for money? Really?
That's what Bob Elliott's telling us.
That's ridiculous.
I don't disagree with you.
Okay.
I don't think yelling makes it any better, but I don't disagree with you.
I'm hoping Paul Beeston listens to this show and hears how angry and upset I am, because I go to 5 to 10 games a year, and now I won't. Because why should I? Because why should I pay $100 to go see a team that's not willing to do what it takes when they absolutely have a chance to win? And they do.
I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, you're obviously exaggerating a great deal on the Houston Street trade, and Brandon McCarthy doesn't help the Blue Jays, so I don't mind that they don't go out and get him, but the Angels did give up their number one and number four prospect to get Houston Street,
right,
as well as a couple of other guys.
Under one?
Yeah, he's fantastic. He could help the Blue Jays a lot. But
okay.
But Anaheim gave up a lot to get him.
Okay. But, you know, they also got Jason Greeley for next to nothing and another reliever, I forgot his name. Like, these teams are making moves. And pretty soon, David Price may end up on Baltimore. I can't see why he wouldn't. And then we're going to be buried, which we will be.
I can see a lot of reasons why David Price isn't going to end up on Baltimore, but okay.
They're going to make a trade, and it's going to hurt us. Would you agree with that?
I think they're going to make a trade, yeah. I think they're going to make a trade.
And we're not.
I don't know if that's true.
We're going to pick up Cole Gillespie's and Brad Mills's, and they're going to take us to the promised land, because that's what I'm hearing. They're the greatest players ever.
All right, John, you're starting. I appreciate the call. You're starting to not make sense now. I understand that you're frustrated, and you should be, but no one is saying that Cole Gillespie and Brad Mills or Nolan Reimold are anything but bottom-of-the-roster guys. The Blue Jays trying to get better when they can. I don't get the whole Brad Mills thing at all. Not one bit. He's not a better baseball player than Chad Jenkins. Not a better pitcher. And I don't know why that happened. But certainly no one is selling these guys as saviors. And for all the people complaining that the Blue Jays aren't doing anything, these are the things that they're doing to try to get incrementally better before the big deal comes down, if they can make a big deal. And, yeah, Houston Street is absolutely somebody they missed out on. But to say that the Angels got him for nothing is just silly. They gave up their number one and number four prospects and two other kids. So the price was high. They paid it. They're willing to take on money. The Blue Jays, it appears, are not willing to take on money. And I do not have an issue with anyone who is very upset about that, because you should be very upset about that. Landon is in Toronto. You're next on Blue Jays Talk.
Oh, man, we're all just a bunch of emotional beings here when it comes to the Jays. But I'd love one day to sit down and talk to you for about an hour about the Jays. But here we go. I'm listening to all you guys, and I've got to admit, I'm a little bit amused because I see it in a different way. Probably in the way that the Rogers head office sees it, why they're not coughing up money. And that is they know, as I believe, we're going nowhere. Even when we had all our top guys in the lineup, we were still losing. We had that. In fact, my take is that 20-4 was a mirage. The reality is what we're seeing right now.
Of course, because you're a Toronto sports fan.
Well, Well, call it whatever you want.
Well, look, the 20-4 is a mirage. Why isn't the 11? Why isn't the 12-25 a mirage? Because you feel more comfortable saying that they're terrible and that they're losers because that's what we've seen in Toronto for the last 20 years.
Well,
you can't throw
what?
Out it the 24 to. Best games without throwing out the 24 worst.
Well, there's a friend of mine who said the physical universe doesn't lie. So if the Blue Jays were a great team, and I think in some aspects they are, it would show up in the standings, but it doesn't. And I believe what's happened is that they were great with 20-4. The team started to figure them out. They made the adjustment, and Blue Jays couldn't counter that. And that's why Francisco is striking out, Batista's striking out, Reyes is striking out. Because
you know, Batista's still leading the major leagues in on-base percentage, right?
Well, okay. Well, he's got a little bit of a gift of getting on base with bases on balls. But
yeah, don't say that like it's a bad thing. And you also have to realize, too, that the Blue Jays at the moment are two games out of a playoff spot. I don't think anyone is saying that they're a great team. But you have to recognize some things. And those include that with a team that's lost two-thirds of its games over the last 6 weeks is two games out of a playoff spot. And that's a positive thing.
Okay, you know what? I got to give you kudos because I find that you really look at the world, at least when it comes to Jays, in rose-colored glasses.
No, I just look at it factually, and it's tough to do if you're going on emotional roller coasters and think they're world beaters when they're killing it, and they're terrible when they're losing. You can't do that. But the facts are that 98 games into this season, the Blue Jays are 3.5 games out of first place, 2 games out of a wild card spot, and they've been playing horribly for 6 weeks. That's a fact, whether you want to realize it or not. Billy is in Markham. Hey, Billy.
How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right, thanks.
Mike, listen, I agree with what you're saying here, but I got to disagree with you. Listen, Mike, yes, we're 3.5 games out. I get that, but Mike, let's go back. Let's go back 6 weeks. We had a 6.5 game lead. When I called you then, I said, the time to act is now. Don't wait till the trade deadline. We've got everybody a mess in the division. Let's step on their throats and end this thing by the end of July, by the
right.
All-Star.
And like I'm sure I said to you at the time, teams aren't making deals. There aren't trades to be made right now,
no,
and there
no,
weren't.
You did. You did, Mike, but... But, Mike, if you're going to tell me, and this all goes back to taking on money, if you had called up the Philadelphia Phillies and talked to Ruben Amaro and said, listen, you guys got some big contracts there, no prospects back, I know Utley's got a trade no trade now, but we will take the other lefty there.
Hamels.
Let's take them, and we will eat the contract. We will pay the full contract. You're going to tell me Ruben Amaro wouldn't have said yes in a heartbeat?
Yes. And especially since Cliff Lee's been on the disabled list ever since the Blue Jays were there. Yes, I think, you know, just because everybody wants it to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen. There are reasons that they haven't been traded yet to anybody. And it's, you know, it's not because the Blue Jays aren't willing to add payroll. Which, again, is a shameful thing if it's true. But they didn't make any trades a month ago because there weren't any trades to be made a month ago. And they're still very, very much in the thick of things. The Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers today 4-1. Snap a 3-game slide. And we're back tomorrow, 12:30 Eastern, for a 107 first pitch. Mark Burley against Nick Tepish. And we will Blue Jays talk it up again when that's all done. See you tomorrow.